there was a list of words that describe the University of Dayton, community would be on it. This is not even a matter of opinion. When students come to tour the campus, at least in 2016 when I toured, they watch a video called Hey UD, What is One Word to Describe UD? And you guessed it, a lot of people responded with
community.
Community?
Community, I guess. It's the obvious one, but it's still true.
Community, definitely.
I'm not going to say community. I'm not going to.
I didn't want to say community because it's a little bit too cliche.
This word is not just the opinions of the student body. It is embraced everywhere. It is in campus-wide events, like Community Means Everyone Week, to the principles of our living and learning communities, called the Commitment to Community, or C2C. It is even found in the University of Dayton's handbook. But today, we want to discuss the LGBTQ+ community on campus, and how the idea of a university-wide community may feel different to them compared to other students. Hi, my name is Chris Reynolds, and my pronouns are they, them, theirs.
And my name is Jessie Starkweather, and my pronouns are she, her, hers.
Over the years, the LGBTQ+ community has become more and more visible in the United States. From what is considered the start of the queer rights movement in 1969 when Marsha P. Johnson threw a brick that started the Stonewall riots, all the way up to same-sex marriage legalization in June of 2015, and the current battle to change the Civil Rights Act such that it extends protection to LGBTQ+ community. But what about the University of Dayton? Keeping in mind the visibility of students' identities on campus, how does the community experience differ for LGBTQ+ identifying students? For some, nothing changes, saying that they had a rather typical college experience. But for many other students, there is a good chance that they may experience biases, microaggressions, and macroaggressions during their time on campus, regardless of whether or not they have come out. In order to get more understanding on this topic, we were able to interview the head of the LGBTQ+ Student Services here at the University of Dayton. If you could please introduce yourself.
So my name is Laura Gentner Hutchinson. My pronouns are she, her, and hers, and I'm the coordinator for LGBTQ+ Student Services at the University of Dayton.
Thank you so much for being here. Could you please talk more about the kind of duties that would reflect being a part of the LGBTQ+ Student Services here at the University of Dayton?
Absolutely. So my primary role is to educate the student body about LGBTQ+ identities and experiences, to connect students with resources across campus, trying to help the university understand the realities of our LGBTQ+ students, as well as help our students navigate the university system.
Given that you act as this bridge between the LGBTQ+ student community and the university, could you please clarify what bias incidents, microaggressions, and macroaggressions are, and how they exist on a college campus in regard to LGBTQ+ identifying students?
So bias incidents are incidents that harm somebody based on an aspect of their identity. These can be intentional or unintentional acts, but ultimately negatively impact the person holding that identity. Bias incidents can range all the way from microaggressions up toward the extremely severe actual physical violence and everything in between. So macroaggressions are usually much easier to identify than microaggressions. So a microaggression is a biased interaction, usually unintentional, that negatively affects some person based on their identity. These often stem from stereotypes, and so microaggressions often are perpetuating stereotypes or asking questions, expecting someone who has that identity to educate and give all of their time to someone else to understand them. And it can be as simple of like, dude, that's so gay. And that's a very simple connotation of that gay is synonymous with stupid. Macroaggressions are much more overt. So this would be something along the lines of intentionally not using someone's chosen name or pronouns. So creating that kind of hostile interaction based on aspects of identity. They do not automatically mean violent, but they certainly can include some form of violence.
As we were on the topic, could you talk a little bit more to microaggressions for LGBTQ+ identifying students?
when raised by someone with a marginalized identity, specifically LGBTQ plus in this case, there's often a pushback of, oh, you're just too sensitive, or that's not what I meant. If you saw it that way, that's your fault for being offended. And that really points out the fact that the unawareness of the toll that microaggressions take on LGBTQ plus folks. Because yes, if it was one time, I'd say, all right, fine, brush it off. But microaggressions don't just happen once. They happen repeatedly over and over again throughout the day, over spans of weeks and months and years and lifetimes.
All right. And at least on the University of Dayton's campus, of these three, do you think one of these aggressions is reported more than the others? Or if any of these aggressions could be underreported?
I can tell you right now, microaggressions are drastically underreported, particularly because they're often seen as subjective rather than objective. And so even people who hold very strong values in support of LGBTQ plus identities and experiences may not know a microaggression when they see it because they're not on the receiving end of it. Macroaggressions and overt bias incidents are not as underreported as microaggressions, but I do believe that they are underreported. We have been seeing an increase in reporting because we've been more transparent, more accessible in the tools of reporting, as well as educating the campus about what is reportable and how you should report and what happens when you report. So again, we are seeing an increase in reporting. I don't think that we're necessarily seeing a significant increase in incidents, though we can't really know that for sure because underreporting has been prevalent for a very long time. I do believe, if I remember correctly, the university does see more reported bias incidents based on race and ethnicity than they do LGBTQ plus bias. But that also makes sense when you look at the representation that LGBTQ plus people do often, not always, have the ability and or the desire to hide, to be invisible in ways that other marginalized groups cannot. And so it's easier, using that word very delicately, it's easier to avoid bias incidents as an LGBTQ plus student, not easier to have. We also see a range of who is reporting, who is on the receiving end of that bias. So it's not just students, it's not just faculty, it's not just staff, but there is a combination of who are committing, for lack of a better word, these micro and macro aggressions. In general, it does happen, but by and large, our faculty and staff are more likely to unknowingly commit microaggressions or even macroaggressions. And so we work to resolve those and, of course, trying to prevent and resolve those kinds of incidents between students as well.
I remember earlier that you gave an example of a microaggression of somebody saying that's so gay, or something I know of when people say no homo. If LGBTQ plus students were to hear this, would there be a negative impact on their mental health or academic standing, such as their GPA?
Gotcha. So we actually do have research primarily from, I believe, the Trevor Project, which is an LGBTQ plus mental health support network specifically for youth. And there's a statistic that any instance of verbal abuse, which could include microaggressions to some extent, increases the likelihood of self-harm by 2.5 times. So if someone is hearing people calling each other the F word in near proximity, not even necessarily directed at them, we have research that shows that that impacts mental health to the point of potential self-harm, and that the frequency of it increases the likelihood of self-harm. And when a student is experiencing thoughts or just the concerns that would lead to potential self-harm, their grades are going to suffer. Their well-being overall, their success at the institution is going to suffer.
And Laura's not wrong. For some students, the idea of reporting is basically worthless if nothing comes out of it. Either that, or students would rather not rock the boat, so to speak. They just want to finish their studies and be a part of the greater UD community without their identity determining what kind of experience they will have. With this, it makes it harder to understand what actions, legally or not, that can be taken in reaction to these biases. It makes it harder to know when these bias incidents turn from microaggressions to macroaggressions. But because of underreporting or a lack of knowledge of what these aggressions actually look like, it feels like little can be done about the biases unless something like a public macroaggression is to happen, like taking down a flag and putting it into a garbage can multiple times, or receiving hurtful and even threatening comments online. We even talked to one of our peers at UD, who is in her fifth year on campus, in her last semester as a student, and who is not unfamiliar with LGBTQ plus based biases.
My name is Chloe Massey-Costellas. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I am a senior. I am a sociology major and a human rights studies and anthropology minor. And I am the president of Spectrum. I've been involved in Spectrum my entire time at UD. And I've been on the exec board for 4 years. This is my second year as president and second year living in the South Spectrum Ally House.
So what was the campus climate like when you first came to Dayton in regard to being an LGBTQ plus student or a part of the Spectrum?
My freshman year, I actually am a fifth year because I had some pretty bad medical complications. And my freshman year, I came in fall of 2015. The LGBTQ plus student services as an office on campus was not around yet. So that was the year right before. So there was no like full-time representation. Additionally, also just to kind of put it in perspective, same gender marriage was just legalized, but there was this sort of reactionary kickback from it from some people who were pretty upset about it. The climate was rough. It was pretty isolating. I met a lot of people on my freshman floor who, once they found out I was a lesbian, would say things just sort of like in disgust, or there were some girls, not everybody, some people were like, a lot of people were great, but there were some people who wouldn't shower when I was in the bathroom. So there was a lot of people who actually would pointedly tell me, I've never met a lesbian before, I never met a gay person before. And all of a sudden, I was a representation for an entire diverse community for this person as the first one they have ever met, which is kind of hard when you're just trying to be a person. I'm Chloe, I'm gay, I'm a Latina, I'm a student, I'm an activist, all these sort of things. I shouldn't have to represent such a diverse community that I can't holistically represent.
What are some examples of micro and macroaggressions you've seen on campus?
For one, there's just sort of like the comments or the stereotypes or the little things that are like, oh, I've never met a gay person before, I never met a lesbian before, I never met a trans person before, I never met a bi person before. Specifically in the dorms, just hearing the F words, like the slur for us. I would be called a dyke by people. I still get called dyke on campus sometimes, which I like, don't call me that. That's a slur. There's sometimes just like smaller things that are just like, I've noticed with people who are uncomfortable when I'm like, have like something that's like a visibly queer shirt on. So like I have like a couple signs that are pride t-shirts and things like that. And if I'm wearing it, people, I then will get looks sometimes. I once had like a couple times before, I've had guys before on campus tell me they could fuck me straight, which is corrective rape, which is a thing. No, you can't, because I'm gay. Like, I've always been gay. That's a big macro aggression, you know. And then this year, so Spectrum and the South Ally House and Spectrum as a whole had six bias incidences happen to us, including death threats from people online. We had our flags taken down three times. Street signs taken down, our front porch smashed. We had a memorial service for people who lost their lives that are transgender because of hate. Has someone kicked over some of the names of dead people, which was so... that was really hard for a lot of our trans members, because that was just like, you see me, even if I was dead, you would not recognize my humanity. You would kick me if I was dead.
What has the university and Spectrum done to support LGBT students in the past few years?
So the university has actually really been super, they have made so many positive changes over the years. And I have seen, to be honest, like, things that I never expected UD to do have happened. And from an administrative standpoint, we have gotten a lot of support. And there was actually a lot of people who came together and like, hey, this is a really awful thing. So there was like this sort of like silent majority of folks who did support us and did like, you know, like, wow, this is bad. We support you. When handling micro and macroaggressions, one of the biggest things we talk about is, well, one, you need to have students logistically understanding their rights as students and what they are, like what entitles a microaggression? What is a macroaggression? What are forms of discrimination? What can you do in these situations to try to diffuse the tension? So we have like these sort of like workshop trainings that we do for a meeting like once a year.
When do you get the university involved in bias incidents on campus? And when is an incident considered large enough to report?
Anything that I believe is an incident of bias, I will report. And I will encourage other people to report as a mandatory reporter, which I am. The thing is, it's hard to report microaggressions because there's not really much you can do beyond asking for sensitivity trainings to take place.
How does the student organization Spectrum provide additional help to students regarding these matters?
Connecting students to resources that they have on campus and the office that they have on campus, and just like, hey, like you don't have to just sit and take this. Like you don't need to just sit and roll over when someone treats you like garbage. You have rights, you have legal protections, and also you're a human being. And there's people here on campus who will support you and will have your back, and we are one of them.
Now, you may be thinking, I don't think the University of Dayton would tolerate that, or I think it goes against Catholic Marianist values. And you're right. When the guidance for Title IX was withdrawn in 2017 regarding the interpretation of sex, LGBTQ+ students were wary about their rights being taken away. To clarify, their rights were not taken away, the guidance was. But regardless, UD students would still have been protected because the university does include sex/gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression in their non-discrimination statement, which is found on the official University of Dayton website, and it's in every handbook given to students upon moving into residence halls and houses on campus.
In the past few years, the University of Dayton has made strides toward helping LGBTQ+ students. In 2016, the university expressed a desire to change attitudes on campus from one of tolerance to one of acceptance. After hearing from Chloe, we know that the university has made many changes within the past 5 years and has been very supportive. But we are also aware of the many challenges and bias incidents LGBTQ+ students continue to face on campus. While the university makes strides toward acceptance, we can only hope that its members will do the same. After all, community means everyone, right?